just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Good morning, beloved. Here we are again, this third installment of our Dress Right series. During this time when our church campus is shut down, our in-person worship has been suspended because of this pandemic, the COVID-19. But as we've said over and over again, though the campus is shut down and attending our in-person worship experience is suspended, the Church of the Living God is yet alive. And so it's a blessing to be with you again as we ponder the Word of God with reference to the times in which we live. Pray with me as we invite the Holy Ghost to come and to give us the anointing for this appointing. Let us pray. Yahweh, the hour is come again that your son Yeshua, whom the Greeks call Jesus, must be lifted up. For Jesus said, and if I be lifted up, I, Jesus, will draw men or women, all boys and girls unto me. So lift Jesus up again this morning. May Jesus be seen clearly. May Jesus be heard and understood without any ambiguity. When this experience shall have come to a pause, may Jesus be honored. May Jesus be obeyed. Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. And the people of God say amen, amen, and amen. This morning, as we continue in our Dress Right series, I want to call your attention to two passages of scripture that we will use as the backdrop for our discussion this morning. Our first passage is our collateral passage. It's found in the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 through 14. And our sermonic passage is back in Paul's letter to the church of Ephesus that we've been preaching from for the last three Sabbaths. Ephesians chapter number 6. And this morning we will deal with verse 15. Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 begins thus. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? In verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Verse 6 says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. But see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end For nations shall rise against nations, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these, verse 8 says, are the beginning of sorrow. And they shall deliver you, verse 9, to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And verse 10 says, many shall be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Verse 11 says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But here's the part that I like. But he that shall endure to the end, verse 13, the same shall be saved. And verse 14 ends with this good news. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto every nation. Then shall the end come. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto every nation, then shall the end come. I think this is a great prophecy from Yeshua himself, our Lord, and how blessed we are to know it. Our sermonic passage this morning is from Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15. Paul writes, and your feet shod in the preparation of the gospel of peace. And your feet shod in the preparation of the gospel of peace. If I were to put a tag on this message this morning, this discourse this morning, it would be an opportunity for this gospel of the kingdom, an opportunity for this gospel of the kingdom. Beloved, when we began this series, we said that we're living in a strange age, living in an age that is being discombobulated and combat. We are being attacked with so many calamities, and this world does not know how to adequately respond to this attack. We're hearing of wars, pestilences, and rumors of wars. We're hearing of storms and earthquakes. We are hearing of fire that are taking almost whole countries. Wondering what's going on. And we said that those of us who are sons and daughters of God do not have to be shocked. We do not have to be afraid. We do not have to panic, because we know what time it is. And we know what we are dealing with. We have the answer. We have the antidote. We begin this Dress Right series by St. Paul has given us a two-part recipe, P, or a two-part formula. Here it is. He says we should have spiritual strength. The Bible says in Matthew 24 and verse 13, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Well, to endure to the end, to endure through all of the chaos that we are experiencing, one has to have more than physical strength. One has to have spiritual strength. So Paul encourages that by saying to us, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. We talked about the spiritual strength, the strength of the Lord. Then we talked about our supernatural suit. He said, put on the whole armor of God. And so this formula has to do with an outward and an inward protection and power. The spiritual strength is an offensive power. It is what we use to attack the devil. And the supernatural suit is what we use to defend ourselves from the attacks of the enemy. Paul says that this suit is made of five distinct pieces. Last Sabbath in part two, we talked about the first two pieces. We talked about the belt of truth, which is the word of God. Jesus said, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, 17. And in John 8, 32, he says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then we said we also need the breastplate of righteousness. Breastplate is that which covers our vital internal organs. We talked about that Roman soldier that wore this breastplate made of pieces or iron plates that were overlapped, and it covered him from his shoulders to his waist, right under his neck. It was intended to protect him from the piercing of swords from his adversary, from the enemy. And so Paul says we cannot go out in this battle without being rightly dressed. We must have this belt of truth, the word of God that tightens our loins with this skirt that the Roman soldier wore. It tightens that skirt, turgence we call it, to keep him standing in the heat of the battle. And the breastplate covered him from the shoulder and overlapped over the belt to protect his heart, his lungs, his internal organ. It protected his torso. And we said last week that when the scientists go into the laboratory, go into the lab to research and try to find a vaccine, an antidote to these deadly diseases, they don't just go in with their regular clothes. They are suited and booted, so to speak. They go in with a prescribed outfit because they know that they are in an environment with deadly contaminants. And we, likewise, beloved, are in a world with deadly contaminants. These deadly contaminants are what we call sin. We are saved, but we have not been evacuated from this earth. And so we have to be dressed right. And tonight we want to talk about the third piece in this five-piece outfit. Paul says, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, that this third piece is the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. He says, we should have our feet shod, or our feet in tightly sandaled in the preparation of the gospel of peace. Thus, the tag or the title of this message, an opportunity for this gospel. What a time we're living in. What an awesome time, beloved, that we're living in. This is one of the best times for the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, these are troubled times, but these are opportune times for the sharing of the gospel. I think it is appropriate to borrow from Charles Dickens' A Tale of Two Cities. We can say in these times, these are the worst of times, but these are the best of times. We can say these are the epic of belief, and surely these are the epic of incredulity. If there was ever a time for the people of God to be excited about sharing the gospel, it is this time. Why am I saying this is a time of opportunity for the gospel? I'm saying this because the world is topsy-turvy. The world is confused. The world does not know how to adequately respond to what's going on. The world, beloved, is in a panic. Those of us who are sons and daughters of Yahweh do not need to panic. We need to take this opportunity to tell the world that there is good news, and that's what the word gospel means. It comes from that Greek word, euangelion, the good news. And look at how Paul describes it in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15. He says it is the good news of peace that prepares us for a time such as this. Paul says, with your feet shod in the preparation of the gospel, the euangelion, the good news of peace. It is good news, beloved. The gospel is good news. Jesus, speaking to his disciples on that mount, said to them that you will hear wars and rumors of wars. We're hearing of that. He said, there will be famine, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places, diseases. We are hearing of that. We are witnessing that. Thousands, yea, millions are dying. We don't need to panic, beloved, because we know what time it is. And that's why we need to give this good news that will prepare God's people time such as this. Now watch this. Jesus said, and this gospel, not just any gospel, but this gospel, Jesus is using a descriptive adjective. This gospel, not a gospel. Last week we talked about the idea that is becoming in vogue in our world today, alternative truth and alternative fact and alternative righteousness. Well, beloved, there's no alternative gospel. Jesus is not saying a gospel. He is saying this gospel. He says, and this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world for witness unto every nation, then shall it end come. What is he saying? He is saying, beloved, that if God is going to be just, then everyone on earth, every part of this globe must have the opportunity to hear this gospel. And I know you're probably looking at me cross-eyed and saying, preacher, the gospel is being preached all over the world. We have social media. We have televisions. We have radios. We have all types of medium today of preaching the gospel. And I beg to differ with you because a gospel is being preached, but not this gospel. Jesus was clear. He said in Matthew 24:14, this gospel. Brothers and sisters, we must take this opportunity to shod our feet in this gospel of peace, to let the world know that God is not willing that any should perish. Bible says he's not slack concerning his promise, but is long suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but at all should come. That's why we have to preach this gospel. This gospel that says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This gospel that says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. But the grace of God is eternal life. This gospel that says in Romans 5:8 that God commended his love toward mankind, toward us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is the gospel that we need to preach at this time. This gospel that says in John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, I'm so glad that we have this gospel. This gospel that says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from not just some, not just most, but from all unrighteousness. This gospel, beloved, that says in Ephesians 2 and verse 8, that we are saved by grace through faith. It is not of works, lest any of us should boast, but it is the gift of God. This gospel that takes the burden of us, off us, beloved, and says in Isaiah 64 and verse 6, for we are all like filthy rags. All of our righteousness are like filthy rags. There's nothing that we can do to save. save ourselves. That's the good news. But thank God we have Jesus. This gospel that says in Romans 8 and verse 1, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Oh yes, we must preach this gospel that gives hope that when we die, we are not caught up in purgatory, some in-between place where our family's got to pray us out of, or we are in hell burning in fire, or we are in heaven looking down at our children and seeing them going through pain and suffering, and there's nothing we can do about it. That's not this gospel. That is the lie from the pit of hell that the devil used to deceive our forefathers in the Garden of Eden when he said, ye shall not surely die. And our forefathers bought into that lie. We must preach this gospel that says in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 5 and 6, for the living know that they shall die. Oh, bless God, but the dead knows not anything. It says in verse 6 that their love and their envy and their hatred is no more. They have no more a part in anything under the sun. They are asleep in the grave. They do not know what's going on. Because when we die, we truly die. But the devil said, Genesis 3, ye shall not surely die. When God said in Genesis 2:17, if ye eat of this fruit, ye shall surely die. The devil said, no, you will not surely die. And our forefathers believed that. And preachers are preaching our gospel, not this gospel. They're preaching our gospel that says that when you die, you are in heaven, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Oh yes, that's in the scripture. That's what Paul said, but that's not what Paul was meaning when he said it. Because it is this Paul that says in this gospel, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13, beloved, I would not have you ignorant concerning those who sleep in the Lord. Because if God raised Jesus from the grave, then God will bring, Jesus will bring with him those who asleep are asleep in him. He says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. You can't rise from the grave when you are in heaven. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we forever be with the Lord. He says in verse 18, so comfort one another with these words when you are dealing with the deep sorrow of a great loss of a loved one, a significant other. Paul says, you should know that that person is asleep. They're resting from their labors. Oh, but they're not going to sleep forever. Paul says, one day the dead in Christ will rise first. This is the gospel that we must preach, that we have the opportunity this time to share with the world. This gospel that debunked the lie of a secret rapture. Oh, beloved, it's not going to be any secret rapture. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, when Jesus ascended into heaven, the angels came and seeing the apostles The disciples standing, gazing up into heaven, and the angel said in Acts 1:11, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, bless his name, shall so come in like manner. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." They saw him go up, flesh and bone. And they all saw him go up. The Bible says in this gospel that they will all see him come again. And Revelation 1:7 buttresses that. It says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, even those who crucified him." Those who nailed him to the cross. How can that be a secret? The God that we serve is not a scary God to come and snatch people out of here secretly. No, when he comes back, beloved, he's not coming as a baby in a manger. He's not coming running from Herod going to Egypt. He's not coming walking down the dusty roads of Galilee and Capernaum. He's not coming growing up on the backside of town in Nazareth. No, no. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and every eye shall see him. Revelation 1:7. This is the gospel that we must preach today to a dying world. This gospel that says, "Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." This gospel that says, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Whatsoever ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do it to the glory of God." This gospel that says we should not just confess Christ, but we should let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and give glory to our Father which is in heaven. This is the gospel of peace. This is the gospel that lets me know that I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. This gospel that gives us the covenant of God's power to protect us. When he says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, beginning with verse 12, he said, when Solomon prayed that prayer during the dedication of the temple, "If your people mess up, God, and you scatter them around the earth, they are in diaspora, and they recognize their undoneness, their wrong, and they cry to you toward this temple, and they pray, God, hear them and forgive them." And God made a covenant promise to Solomon that comes down to all of us sons and daughters of God. God said in verse 12, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, "If I shut up the heavens, that there be no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilences like corona upon my people," here's the covenant, "if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. God says, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. We need the land to be healed, beloved. But the land will not know that until they hear this gospel. This is the gospel of peace. It's not the gospel of condemnation. It is a gospel that a dying world without Christ need to know. They need to know that God sent not his son into the world. John 3:17, to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is this gospel. It is not a gospel. It's not that gospel that says, turn around three times, high five four people, and it's mine. This selfish, self-centered, greedy gospel that is a counterfeit of this gospel that frees the people of God, that causes blind to see, that causes the dead to come alive spiritually. This is the opportunity for this gospel of peace. Oh yes, we got to wash our hands. Got to exercise social distancing. We got to wear our masks. Got to do what our medical practitioners and our leaders in government are telling us to do. But we cannot have peace by just wearing a mask, by just washing our hands with soap and warm water. We cannot have peace. Matter of fact, a lot of us are troubled right now. I know people who have lost their loved ones, and they are lamenting the fact that the loved one died alone. Oh, but we need to tell them that this gospel says that if that loved one knew Jesus, they didn't die alone, because God, Yahweh, Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This gospel. This is the gospel that I bring to you this morning. If you do not know Yeshua, the Greeks call him Jesus. His name is Savior. Mary's baby. Some call him the Rose of Sharon, the Heavenly Sharon, the Burning Bearer. Isaiah says in 53, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. Get to know him. This is the opportunity to come to Jesus. You don't have to find a priest. He is our high priest. You can get on your knees where you are right now. And you can say, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, O God, whither shall I go? Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I confess that Jesus, Yeshua, is my creator. He's my redeemer. And he is my intercessor. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for me. And he is my coming king. You confess that. I believe that Christ has died for me, and I accept his death. Oh, my friend, you can be free today. And if you are in the Baton Rouge area, when we come back together, when this blows over, and we come back at 4555 Fairfield Avenue, come worship with us. Be a part of our community of faith. May God bless you. May God keep you. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Take this gospel, for this is an opportunity for the gospel of peace. In Yeshua's name, amen.
For grace. Oh, for grace. Oh, for grace. Oh, for grace.
Of God.